I was about to embark on a systematic account of the way I thought the various categories developed out of one another, when Polymarchus, who was sitting a little bit away from Adamantus, reached out a hand and took hold of his cloak up at the shoulder. Drawing Adamantus towards him, he leaned forward and started whispering to him. All we could hear of it was, "What shall we do? Shall we let it go?" "No," Adamantus replied out loud. "What, in particular," I asked, "do you not want to let go?" "You." "What in particular that I have said?" "We think you're taking the lazy way out, short-changing us out of a whole line of thought, and an important one, in the argument, to save yourself the trouble of explaining it. You think that when it comes to women and children, you can get away with a casual remark to the effect that friends will hold things in common, as if no one could be in any doubt about this." "Wasn't what I said correct, then, Adamantus?" "Yes, it was," he said. "But like the rest of our correct statements, it needs some explanation. What do you mean by common? There are lots of possibilities, and you're not going to get away without telling us which one you mean. We've been sitting around here patiently, assuming you were bound to say something about the production of children, what their practice will be in this regard, and how they will bring the children up once they are born, and this whole business you've suggested of women and children being in common. We think it's of great, indeed crucial importance for our state, whether this is done in the right way or the wrong way. So when you started to deal with another regime before settling these questions in a satisfactory way, we made the decision you heard us making, not to let you go until you have given a full description of this topic, like the other topics." "Count me in as well," said Glaucon, "as a joint proposer of this motion." "Take it as a unanimous decision, Socrates," Thrasymachus added. "In that case," I said, "I'd better go back and deal now with something I should perhaps have dealt with earlier, in its rightful place. Our intention, I take it, was to make the men in our hypothetical city into some kind of guardians of the herd." "Yes." "Shall we follow that up, then, by giving them a birth and upbringing consistent with this role? Shall we see whether or not that suits our purpose?" "What do you mean?" "I mean this. Do we think female watchdogs should do their share of watching in the same way as male watchdogs? Should they do their share of hunting and join in other activities? Or do we think that bearing and raising puppies makes them incapable of doing their share? Do we expect the females to stay at home indoors while the males do the work and have the whole responsibility for the flocks?" "We think they should join in everything," he said. "We treat the females as weaker, though, and the males as stronger." "Well, then, is it possible to employ one animal for the same tasks as another without giving it the same upbringing and training?" "No, it's not possible." "So, if we're going to employ women for the same tasks as men, we must give them the same teaching." "Yes. The education we gave men had a musical and poetic element, and a physical element." "Yes. So women, too, should receive these two disciplines, plus military training, and they should be treated in the same way." "It looks like it," he said, "from what you've been saying. Much of what we are saying now is pretty unconventional. It may well seem absurd if our suggestions are really going to be put into practice." "Indeed, it may. What do you find the most absurd thing about it? Isn't it, obviously, the idea of women taking exercise naked along with men in the wrestling schools? Not just young women, but older ones as well, like the old men you find in the gymnasiums. They're all wrinkled, and by no means a pretty sight, but they still retain an enthusiasm for taking exercise." "Yes," he replied, "that would certainly look pretty absurd, at least the way things are at present. Well, now that we've brought the subject up, we mustn't be afraid of all the standard jokes we'd hear from humorists if we introduce changes of that sort in physical exercise, in musical and poetic education, and particularly in carrying arms and riding on horseback. You're right, he said. And since we have brought it up, we must get on to the difficult business of legislation, with a request to these comedians to be serious. We don't mind them not performing their own proper function. We can remind them that it is not so very long since the Greeks thought it immoral and absurd, as most foreigners still think it, for men to be seen naked. When first the Cretans and then the Spartans started exercising naked, all that became a legitimate target for the humorists of the day. Don't you agree? I do. I take it that once experience showed that you can do all these activities better, stripped, than wearing clothes, then too the perception of absurdity evaporated in the face of public recognition of what was best. It became clear that only a fool regards as laughable anything other than what is bad. Anyone who tries to be amusing by pointing at any spectacle other than the spectacle of folly and wickedness must quite seriously have set himself some standard of beauty other than that of the good. Exactly, he said. Well then, if we want a woman to become guardian material, we shall not have one education for making men guardians and another for making women guardians, shall we? Particularly when they have the same natural attributes to start with. No, we shall have the same education for both. Now, here's another point I'd like your opinion about. What is that? Whether you feel in your own mind that one man is better and another man is worse. Or do you think all men are the same? No, I certainly don't. Well then, in the city we founded, which do you think we shall find turn out the better men? The guardians who have received the education we described, or the shoemakers trained in the art of shoemaking? Well, that's a fatuous question, he said. I see. What about the rest of the citizens? Aren't the guardians better than all of them? Much better. What about the women? Won't the women guardians be the best of the women? Again, he said, much the best. Is there anything better for the city than for it to have its women and its men alike become as good as possible? No, there isn't. And will this be brought about by the availability of musical and physical education of the kind we described? Of course. So our arrangements are not only feasible, but also in the best interests of our city. Yes. They must strip, then, the women among our guardians. Virtue will be their cloak. They must play their part both in war and in being the guardians of the city in general. That and nothing else. And of those tasks, women should be given lighter ones than men, because their sex is weaker. Absolutely. Can we say, then, that in our provisions for the legal position of women we have survived the first wave of criticism? In laying down that our male and female guardians should in all respects lead a common life, we have not been completely overwhelmed. That's certainly no small wave you have survived, he said. You won't think so when you see the next one. Go on, then. Let me see it. I believe that this law and the others which preceded it imply a further law. What law? That all these women shall be wives in common for all these men, that none of them shall live as individuals with any of the men, that children in turn shall belong to all of them, that no parent shall know its own child, no child its own parent. Yes, he said, when it comes to scepticism about the feasibility or utility of this proposal, that is a much larger wave than the first. I don't imagine there could be any disagreement about its utility. No one would deny that, if it is possible, having wives in common and children in common is a major benefit. But on the question of its feasibility or otherwise, I suspect there would be a lot of disagreement. There'd be plenty of disagreement, he replied, on both counts.